For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
And we give thanks to the Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give you thanks. We glory in you. We look to you. And Lord, I ask that you be glorified. It's not me, Lord, it's you. And Father, I praise you and thank you. Thank you tonight. Thank you tonight. We praise you for what you are doing in our midst, what you are doing in our hearts. Let the word be open tonight by the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've been impressed on the Lord to start off in Mark chapter 2. We're looking at the word sent to heal. And have you come expectant, believing? Because that's the way you should come when you approach the word of God. Mark chapter 2, there's something in here which I believe we need to really take hold of. And we'll start from verse 2, and says, "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached," what? This is Jesus. "He preached the word unto them." Very important for us to get hold of that. Jesus was a preacher of the word. He was the greatest faith preacher that ever lived. Okay, he preached the word unto them. Verse 3 says, "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." So we see here a paralyzed man, and you can see that they obviously believed the word that Jesus spoke. He was lowered, the paralyzed man, the sick of the palsy, was lowered through the roof and let down. They let down the bed to where he was. Okay, so obviously they expected something, didn't they? Now the thing is, Jesus went to the heart of the matter with this paralyzed man. And the heart of the matter is often what people don't see. And that is what's in the heart. See, Jesus could see faith. He could see both in their actions and in their heart. And it's important for us to see that he dealt with the heart of the matter in verse 5. So he says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." You see, the Bible says, "Whosoever covereth his sins," or his sins, "shall not prosper." And prosperity involves everything we need to function properly on the earth today. So it's important to be honest before the Lord and yourself. The Lord sees your heart anyway. To be honest before the Lord. And if there's sin, it could be anything from, you know, lying. You know, I could go through all types of sin. Temper, angry, unforgiveness, all that type of thing. We need to be honest before the Lord. There are whole sections of people in the Christian world that are just not honest before the Lord. And I don't know what they're thinking. Do they think the Lord can't see their hearts or something? The great breakthroughs that people can have is when they're honest before the Lord and judge themselves and say, I will get real with God. This is getting real with God, see. He sees my heart. And I've got to get that sin out. So when the word is preached, we all want the results of the word, but the word can sometimes be a word we don't necessarily in ourselves want to hear. But it's a necessary word. It's a necessary word. So you see, in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And that's what it said in verse 6 onwards. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? As far as God is concerned, both of these things are just as easy as each other. It's no harder for God to heal physically than it is for God to forgive, heal spiritually. And you know, you will see it over and over again that when people confess their sins, there was restoration. When people confess their sins before the Lord, there was forgiveness. Okay, there was turnaround for them. Things happened in their life. When people hid sin, for example, Ananias and Sapphira, you can read that yourself in the book of Acts, sometimes there were deadly consequences that happened. When people did not approach the word in the right way, this is what happened. Notice what Jesus said in verse 10, But that ye may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Now what did Jesus do? He gave that paralyzed man a word. Now, prior to that time, that paralyzed man could not have got off the bed. But now he's got a word. If Jesus said, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house, what can that man do? He can arise, take up his bed, and go his way into his house. Why? Because the word has been given to him, and if he believes that word and acts on it, there will be a result for him. And sometimes a word will come to people, but unless the sin is dealt with, that will be a barrier. Their hearts will condemn them, and they won't be able to get past that. So Jesus obviously dealt with that first and then gave the word to the sick of the palsy. In verse 12, And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. So I want you to see the sequence here. Now often a word has come to someone. God is very merciful. God hears the cries of people. Often a word comes to people, but there's also this other area that people have to deal with, which is their responsibility to deal with sin, to deal with things like wrong attitudes, unbelief, and so on. Now we've also seen that there was a man that had unbelief, but he was honest enough before God to say, Help thou my unbelief. He cried out and saw that God was his only help. And God will get you through that too. He'll meet up with you where you're at. So the important thing is to see that covering sin will not allow prosperity and healing, but repenting of it, and I've heard it said, and it's a true saying, that repenting is a spiritual clearing house. It'll clear so that there is a freedom to receive the word. So I want you to keep that in mind. Jesus, the living word, that was his title in John 1, and we'll read that in a minute. Jesus, the living word, was sent as the only begotten Son of God. And there's also the written and spoken word, which has been sent to heal as well. Jesus declared that his words were spirit, little s, and life. In other words, they have spiritual impact. They have spiritual impact. Let's have a look at Psalm 107. And we'll look at verses 19 to 21. Psalm 107, verses 19 to 21. Verse 19 says, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." This requires the operation of faith. Okay, as I said before, many times the word is sent, but there are things in the way. But if you mix the hearing of the word with faith, the Bible says that that'll profit you. The hearing of the word with faith. He sent his word and healed them. What did they do beforehand? Verse 19, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. God knows that trouble comes, but you can turn to the Lord, or you can turn to everything else. You can even turn to your own self, of which there would be great deficiency. But if you cry unto the Lord in your trouble, he'll save you out of your distresses. He sent his word and healed. God's word is not just any old word. His words are spirit and life. In fact, it's life to all your flesh. Life to all your flesh. Strength to you. As you spiritually feed on the word of God and believe it when it comes, because notice it says he sent his word. Believe it when it comes, there'll be healing coming as well. Healing will come. Look at Matthew 8. Because I want you to see what happens when you put a priority and value on the word of God. That's both the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is precious. That's what 1 Peter tells us. He is precious. And the written word, which comes to you and you receive it into your heart in belief. Now, I wasn't always like this in my life. And there were many times when, you know, I had doubts and that. But I tell you now, there has been a great restoration over the last few years through receiving the word in believing it, putting it into your heart, and speaking it forth in belief. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. Matthew 8, 5 to 13. Now I pray that you come expectant tonight, and all of these healing meetings are about expecting, about believing, expecting from the Lord. And we'll give you opportunity later on if you need prayer, if you want prayer. God can meet you as you receive the word. Starting from verse 5 of Matthew 8, it says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." Now, obviously, God doesn't want people tormented. It's not his nature. He's not the destroyer of his people. Grievously tormented. Now notice what Jesus said in verse 7. "And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him." That in itself is enough. It's interesting what the centurion says next. Verse 8. "The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." That's what he says. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. This man recognized and valued the word coming from Jesus. He recognized and valued the word that came from Jesus. How much do we put value and recognition on the word of Jesus? And he says in verse 9, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." So he recognized authority. He recognized that when Jesus said something, it mattered. He didn't want Jesus to come under his roof because obviously he was a man of blood. As a centurion, he was a soldier. Verse 10. "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." You know, we can raise our faith level by just making a simple decision to value the word, regardless of what it says. But if it comes, we value the word. A simple decision. I value your word, Lord. I value what you say. I see it has power. I see it has authority. He sent his word and healed them. When Jesus heard it, verse 10, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. But I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So Jesus gave a word to the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. So that centurion could now go his way and be assured by his faith, by his belief, that it was done. Praise the Lord. And I am convinced this is the way we must approach it. Not to be, and the world is very oriented towards this, not to be so sight-oriented, feelings-oriented, that as soon as something that comes that says, oh no, you're not healed, and so on, that we immediately allow that fear to get hold of us, that worry, those wrong thoughts. What does God say? To let your heart be filled with the word of Christ. Let it dwell richly in you. Dwell richly in you. Why does God say that? Because when you have the word dwelling richly in you and you believe it, then a thought can come, but you're ready. You're ready to reject that thing. Say, no, that's not my thought. That's not what I am believing for. See, the centurion could have said, well, I don't think that the word of Jesus is powerful. And he would never have acted on the words of Jesus at all. But you can see that as it comes to you, and as you put priority on it in your everyday life and become a person who values it, then faith will arise, and as that word comes, you will do it, and it's not a hard thing. It is very hard for people, in fact impossible, for those who put no priority on it, who don't confess it, who don't believe it, who expose themselves constantly to unbelief and words that are against the word of God. There's many people that do that. But you know, Jesus has come for a particular purpose. Not to destroy, but to save, to heal. The Bible says that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Healing. Went about doing good. This is the nature of Jesus. Look at John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. The title of Jesus, well, one of his titles, because another title is Lamb, another is King of Kings. This is one of his titles in John chapter 1, starting from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So we see here that there was someone called the Word. Someone called the Word. It says the Word was God. This is God the Son is talking about. If you look at verse 14, it identifies who the Word is. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see that Jesus, who is the only begotten of the Father, was the Word made flesh. He was the living Word. And so you would expect that he would live out the word perfectly, and of course he did. Praise the Lord. So everything when the word comes to you and you see it as it truly is, which is true, correct, thy word is truth, you see it as correct, sight might contradict it, feelings might contradict it, but you say no, I receive that word that's come. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And I reject that thought that says I'm not. In Jesus' name. I believe that word. You know, you can get faith just out of that single scripture. Jesus took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You can get faith just by saying, I believe that. And putting it into your heart. And receiving it and saying, I believe that. Praise the Lord. But, you know, we're in a world that is completely sight and feeling oriented. This is why you must expose yourself to the preaching of the Word and be a student of the Word and put it into your heart in a believing way constantly. So Jesus was sent for a purpose. Look at Luke 4. Luke 4. Luke 4, verses 16 to 21. Remember, we read before, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So that's going to drive the darkness out. That's going to drive the darkness out. As you connect and identify more and more with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible talks about us being conformed to the image of God's dear Son. As we conform more and more to Jesus, there is more and more light in our life. The light of God's Word. Praise the Lord. Luke 4, starting from verse 16. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now notice, it was a custom of Jesus to go to the synagogue and read from the book, preach. Certainly, when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And notice what it says in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. See, this is why Jesus came. He came, as it says there, to preach. He came to heal. He came to deliver. He came to set at liberty. He came to give people recovery. All of this is in him. And him as the living Word, now he's saying, I am here. Believe what I say. Believe what I say. Act on what I say. Believe it. As we do that, we see that Jesus is alive today. He is alive today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His work on the cross, he became a curse for us. His work on the cross was to redeem us from the curse of the law. And in the curse of the law, there is the inclusion of sickness and all types of other destructive things. But you know, Jesus has come, as we read just then, to preach, to heal, giving recovery, giving deliverance, setting at liberty. Is he alive today, and how does he do it today? His body is here on the earth today. He is the head of the body. He does it through his church. He does it through people who are open to using his word, preaching the word, taking the word, believing the word. He sent his word and healed them. But you've got to see the nature of the word is it's not just like anything, any old thing you can get off a library, a shelf. The word is living. It's quick and powerful. And as it comes into our hearts, as we mix it with faith, belief, strength, healing, all of that will come. He sent his word and healed them. Praise the Lord. Have a look at Matthew chapter 8 again. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. I believe the Lord has given us a word tonight. He's saying, I am here. I am here by my Spirit. I am alive today. I rose from the dead. I'm alive today. I'm here to heal, to strengthen my people. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Jesus took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He's no respecter of persons. If he did it for them, he's done it for you. And he did it specifically on the cross for you and for me. Praise the Lord. Notice, it says in verse 16, he cast out the spirits with his word. You need to have the word in your life, in your heart, and in your mouth constantly. And spirits, evil spirits, devils, they'll get out of the way as you speak the word. You see, and this is important to understand, as you fill your heart with the word, as you believe it, as you value it, the devil will find it impossible, hard to get in. How does he get into other people's lives? Well, there is a difference between believing and not believing. Some people say, why did this happen to me? But they should be saying, why didn't that happen to me? It is God's mercy. You know, why is it that, and you should look at your own life, why is it that there's blessing in our lives? It is God's mercy, and as we believe his word and say what he wants us to say, believe that he sent his word to heal us and to deliver us and to strengthen us. As we believe that, it's completely different from the way of the world, which doesn't believe. There'll be a hedge set around us. That hedge which is put up by God himself. Praise the Lord. And we keep our hearts diligently, the Bible says, that hedge will be set up. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Galatians 3. We're coming towards the end of this. And I pray that tonight you see that the word is sent as a powerful thing that is able to, as it says, it's quick and powerful, that is able to, like a two-edged sword, come right in to your heart. Come right into your heart. Discern between soul and spirit. Discern your thoughts and thinking. Get that sorted out. Galatians 3. Verses 13 and 14. The word comes to us. The word has been sent for a specific purpose. We saw that purpose in Jesus. It hasn't changed today. That blessing is available today. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through who? Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You see, God wants us blessed. Else why did Jesus die? Why is he alive today? Else to intercede for us. Remember what I said on Sunday? You can confess Christ as your healer. You confess before men, Christ is my healer. God will confess before the Father and before the angels. He believes that I am his healer, or I am her healer. He believes, she believes that. You see, it's so very, very important the way we approach what Scripture tells us. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. We've been bought back, taken out of the curse, being made a curse for us. There was an exchange. He gave us his blessing. He took the curse that was upon us. So we acknowledge the mercy of God. The mercy of God. And we believe that Jesus took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So you can see here, became a curse for us, must have included the infirmities and the sicknesses. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. We are blessed. This is the word that comes to us today. We are blessed. Praise the Lord. I just want to bring you back to what I said right at the very beginning. And we're going to pray in a minute. Right at the beginning I said, God knows people's hearts. And it's no use, if there's anything that needs to be dealt with, it's no use covering it up. It's no use trying to hide it. But get it right before the Lord. Because, as we know, and as the Scripture declares, things that are hidden and kept causes us not to prosper. If a person covers their sins, they shall not prosper. That's a scriptural principle. But if you release that to the Lord, ask for forgiveness and cleansing, God is faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what the Scripture tells us. The blood of Jesus cleanses even today and into eternity. Praise the Lord.